Blog Talk Radio.
We'll keep spinning around and around. Got my feet so high on the ground. And I don't want you to stop. Want all you got. Come here.
So welcome in. This is the V2V podcast where your voices are heard, your stories are told, and your hearts can begin to heal. I am your host, Dr. Marcy Batiste, America's voice for the voiceless. As many of you know, each week when we get together, we have a healthy adult dialogue about a bunch of critical life topics. Just depends on what's going on in the world in any given moment, but it's always in hopes of providing food for thought that turns into action. Personally, I for one believe that no subject is too taboo and that you can talk about anything if you create a safe space and retain an open mind about the conversation. On occasion, granted, it can get a little bit uncomfortable, and that may well be the case tonight based on the conversation that we are preparing to have. But I always also believe that some transparent conversation and elevated dialogue is an opportunity for us to all grow through our discomfort and, in fact, learn new information. My intention each week is that you will hear something that will either move you, motivate you, or challenge you to make some proactive and sustainable changes in your own life and relationships. I always say that change can't happen around you until it occurs within you. So each week before the show, I do always ask that God use this show to have the conversations that you need to hear. I thank him for the voice. I thank him for the platform and for the opportunity to become a conduit for healing and recovery. You know, you just never know who's around you. You just never know who's tuned in, and you just never know what they need to hear and what things are going to resonate with them. And so that's why I like to bring on new guests each time and dive into various topics. So as a reminder, we are on the air live and the phone lines are open. I do welcome you to join in on the conversation tonight if you would like. The phone number is 914-219-0880. Again, that number is 914-219-0880. And tonight we are wrapping up Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And this is our final show. It's never our final show on domestic violence because that's kind of my jam. So let me see here. Trying to get our guest in tonight. And so that's, you know, that's really my jam. Give me one second, guys. Having some technological difficulties. But as you know, like talking about domestic violence, facilitating those kinds of conversations, even though they're uncomfortable and they can be kind of heavy sometimes, that is just pretty much my jam. And, you know, it's something that is very near and dear to my heart based on my own personal experiences. I grew up in an abusive household and then had my own personal experiences as well. And so tonight, you know, I don't think I could ask for a better guest to have on for tonight. For this conversation, you know, sometimes when you get into a dialogue about domestic violence, it's hard to get people to really go deep and to really open up. And that's one of the things that I appreciate about my guest this evening. And so our goal for this evening is to give you some domestic violence awareness from a man's perspective. There are not very many men who are brave enough to facilitate conversations about the subject of domestic violence, and even fewer are willing to facilitate them and coach women about domestic violence. And, you know, the ratios and the statistics show that women are the ones who really definitely need to hear this. And sometimes we need to hear it from a different voice. And so, you know, I'm always one that is willing to bring on whatever it's going to take to move this dialogue forward. And so tonight we're going to tap into some dating red flags that you may not be aware of. I'm excited to hear about them because they're going to come from a man's perspective, and as well as hopefully provide you guys some sound recovery and prevention information as well. You may know my guest tonight from a previous episode back in March. He appeared on the show, was quite a popular episode, really moved the needle on some things and opened up a lot of eyes in a number of different areas. But he came on that episode we called True Confessions of a Man, and he went there. He went all in. He laid it all out. It's completely vulnerable. And so tonight I'm excited to welcome back Mr. Lamont Faison. And so let me give you all, just in case you missed that, let me give you his background, and then we'll bring him in and we will kick this conversation off. So Lamont's a former law enforcement officer and academy trainer. He's now a domestic violence facilitator and certified anger management specialist. He has taught crisis prevention intervention as a certified instructor for the Department of Public Safety and counseled both men and women that have been incarcerated in prison, youth groups, one-on-one coaching, and always stressing the importance of self-awareness and mastering your emotions, which that's probably why I love following this man so much on social media. He puts out a lot of great content. Currently, he holds two certifications, one in results coaching from the Spencer Institute, and another in anger management from the Anger Management Essentials. He's the owner of Anger Management 702, as well as a member of the National Association of Anger Management. His specialties include anger response, de-escalation tactics, reacting versus response, and developing healthy relationships. He's also the author of very telling books. Like I said, we had him on Unveiling the Mask of the Pretender was the one he shared with us back in March, and we discussed that at length, and he is also the author of a book entitled The Audacity to Think I Can. And in addition, he's also a very powerful podcast host. His podcast is called You Versus Yourself, Lamont Faison. What's up? How are you, my friend?
Well, I'm in the building, Dr. Marcy. How are you?
I am so, so good. I'm so, so excited to have you on. And I thank you for actually following up and reminding me that we were supposed to make sure we have this conversation together, because we've kind of tried to facilitate that for a while. And so this is an exciting time to be able to have you on, really diving into domestic violence specifically. So thank you.
You're welcome.
And I was thinking as I was sharing your bio with the listeners, we probably need to have you back on maybe after the first of the year if you have time. To talk about your book, The Audacity to Think I Can. I just feel like I love the title. And, you know, I always say when people irritate me or they do something that is just, like, insanely hard to believe, I'm always, audacity is at an all-time high. But that's usually in a negative context. And so I think having some audacity in a positive way would be a great way to kick off the new year. So I'll let you marinate on that idea.
Yeah, it's funny that you end with the audacity to think I can, because that book came about after my pain, my trauma, my healing, because I didn't believe in myself. And it actually came after I got my life together and had my therapy and finally believed in myself. And when I came out bold, and I said, I need a title that reflects my boldness and the audacity to think I can, after saying that the audacity to think I failed in many areas of my life. Mm-hmm. And I finally believed in myself is the reason I wrote that book. So, yeah.
And I hope y'all heard that man's self-belief when he just talked about that. Like, that's what I'm talking about. And, you know, in our group, and I'm going to have you, you know, kind of bring the listeners in and update them on your background, but we were just talking I'm here in Alaska teaching some classes, for my new program, Challenge to Change. And a big part of that is effective communication, but it's exactly what you're talking about, self-mastery, proactive living, being able to, you know, remove emotion out of situations and things like that. And it's amazing what happens. One of our students today found out that he just got a job. He's in treatment right now, in residential treatment, and he just found out that he got hired for a job, and it was amazing the difference that you could see from how he was last week and how he showed up and his perspective on life, you know, versus this week. Now he has this job, and like you're saying, like, he has the audacity to think he can actually finish treatment and be successful and productive. And it was like night and day watching it. I loved it.
Right. And that's good, because usually what happens is something happens in your life where you have one accomplishment and your confidence goes through the roof. You actually believe in yourself, because most of the time that confidence and that thing that you do is actually for you. It's not really proving other people wrong. It's actually to prove to see if you can do it. And once you accomplish it, you usually wake up and say, man, I did it. I can do it. And that's kind of how it happened for me as well. So, you know, congratulations to that young man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. So I am going to stop blabbering my mouth because, I get excited when I have amazing guests on, which you definitely did not disappoint the last time you were on. So please bring the listeners, if they missed your fantastic show and they need to hear that on the replay, bring them up to speed. Let them know. I'm also curious, like, how you got into this uncommon area of facilitation and coaching, because it's super uncommon for a man to tackle that subject. So the floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah. Thank you, first of all, for having me. I appreciate any time I get on a platform and encourage and inspire and motivate other people to be the best version of themselves. That's kind of my aim in almost everything that I do. And I am a stickler on self-mastery. The last time I was on the show, I talked about Unveiling the Mask of the Pretender, a book that I wrote. And when I was on Dr. Marcy's show, I kind of talked about my past, how I got started, emotionally abused by a stepfather and made to believe that I wasn't smart. I entered the Marine Corps, got kicked out of the Marine Corps. After denying, they tried to put me in anger management, and I denied that I had an anger management issue or unresolved anger issues, and ended up getting kicked out of the military 18 months later for a battery on a Marine. As I stated before, I walked around California from South Central LA. I walked around embarrassed, ashamed, and I really felt alone. And there was even a time where I contemplated suicide. Interesting enough, the question that Dr. Marcy just asked me was, how did you get to this point, anger management and domestic violence? I ask myself that every day. I do. I ask myself that very question every day. But what I believe happened was, I remember a friend of mine when I was in the darkest time of my life. And even when I was in the darkest time of my life, I remember saying, I'm going to be an awesome man. I'm going to be an amazing man. I remember saying that. Mm-hmm. And she, in fact, I talked to her a couple of weeks ago, and she told me that. She said, you remember that? I said, I remember. I had tears in my eyes. I was in my darkest place. And I remember saying that. I didn't know where I was going to end up, but I knew I was going to do something amazing, whatever that was. And one day I was asleep, and I was dreaming. And in my spirit, anger management kept coming up. I was already a coach, but anger management kept popping up in my spirit. I said, okay, I'm going to do it. So I went to school for that. And then as I was doing that, teaching anger management, I saw people that looked just like me with some of those same issues, people that was in denial. And anger management, domestic violence, there's a correlation there. Before you hit somebody, you're typically angry or enraged. So those two go hand in hand.
Right.
And I wanted to help people understand who they were and why they and how they got to where they gotten to. And usually it's mostly trauma from my past and faulty blueprint and bad intel. And when I mean bad intel, I mean bad information. I talked about in the past in the book, I talked about when I was in the fourth grade that my stepfather told me if somebody called you a name to pick up a bat and bust them in the head with it. And
oh, goodness.
That was the information. Watch this. When I talk about faulty intel, that's bad information, right? So I'm taking that bad information. Mm-hmm. I'm recycling it through my system. I'm digesting it, and I'm regurgitating it. And I take that information, I hit the individual with a bat, so I execute it. I'm in the fourth grade now. I don't know if I'm 8 years old or 9 years old, but I'm young. I get suspended from school, and the police shows up to my door. Now, remember, I'm in the fourth grade. That police officer asks, who told you to do that? And I pointed to my father. I said, he taught me that.
Snitch.
Right. Well, and the reason why the police asked me that, he know doggone well, I probably got it from my father. I'm in the fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him where it came from. And he told my stepfather at that time, I thought it was my biological father, he told him at that time, he said, listen, that's bad advice. And your son is kicked out of school, and what if he would have killed the guy? And see, all of those things are true. But I was an angry kid. I was upset all the time, and I didn't know why. And I began to later on in life, after getting kicked out of the military, I began to seek help. And I remember going to a therapist. And back then, we didn't think therapists was cool, so I snuck and went to the therapist. You hear what I said? I snuck.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I didn't
sneak. Talk about it.
Sneak.
Go ahead.
I snuck. Look. I didn't sneak, I snuck.
Yep.
and I went to the therapist, and I said, man, I'm going here and talk to these people, because the person that asked me to go talk to them, they're like, man, you going to see a shrink? I said, man, that's for crazy people. And that's kind of the way we were brought up. But the therapist helped me.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I really had no issues with opening up with her, because I felt like I was all alone. And it was a black woman, and I needed somebody who identified, you know, with me as in my culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going to her, and she says, Lamont, let's talk about your past. Do you mind? I said, absolutely not, because I was ready to talk. Found out how angry I was and how upset. And I called myself a monster, because I remember walking around with a gun, angry, getting into it with people, and just doing crazy stuff. And so the years went by after I went to therapy, and I began to slowly do the work. You know, I think the first book that I read was a book by T.D. Jakes. What, I don't even know what year that was. That was a long time ago, called He-Motions. I don't know if you guys ever heard that book called He-Motions. And I remember that book talking about emotions of a man. And I read that book, and it resonated with me. And I remember the only emotion that I ever exhibited, or seemingly, was anger, because we understand that anger is the emotion. Aggression is the behavior. So I said, why am I so aggressive, though? Why do I hit? I was taught that. I was trained that way. The Bible says, raise a child in the way he should go, he'll never depart from thee. Well, that's good stuff and bad stuff. You give him
right.
good stuff.
Yes.
You train me that way. Right? You train me that way. If I don't get a different blueprint, if I'm not reprogrammed, I will grow up to think that that's normal behavior. So then when I would get into a relationship, now I wasn't really the physical guy. I was more of the guy that yelled. Yell is a form of abuse as well. It's intimidation, power and control. Shut up and do what I tell you. So instead of speaking to her like she's an adult, I speak to her like she's a child, because it's what I know. And when you get upset and when you get mad, that's what comes out next. There's no boundary setting. There's no saying that you are beautiful, you are amazing. It's only do it my way or it's the highway. And that's the way I was. And later on in life, I started realizing, even now when I look back on those days, I said, dude, you was out of control. I mean, I really could have been in a bad place. I really could have been incarcerated. But what tends to happen as men, we get caught up in the bravado, the ego, the macho. Men are taught to respond and to respond aggressively. And when we do that, we create a situation for ourselves that's going to cause us to get in trouble, to go to jail, to get shot, whatever the case may be. And that happens quite often in our communities. So right now I teach at Metro Police Department. I teach men and women, inmates. And it's interesting the perspective that they have on life when it comes to this. They said, well, you know, Mr. Faison, if we don't respond, then we're weak. We're punk. We're soft, right? And that's how we be trained.
Yeah.
So I'm working on a new thought for them. I'm working on new thought. I call it new thought. And the reason why I say that, I have shared a formula with them, Dr. Marcy, that I created called the TGWM rule. Think, gather the facts, weigh the pros and cons, and make your decision. Once again, the TGWM rule. Think, gather the facts, weigh the pros and cons, and make a decision. We call that second thought. That's what they call it today, second thought, which means my first thought or my first response is usually dysfunctional. The second thought allows me an opportunity to take a look at what I was getting ready to do and weigh the pros and cons and say, nope, that's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to use that second thought to do the right thing. So that's what we're teaching now. Because what we have been taught is to first respond, and we'll ask questions later. But by that time, you're incarcerated. You're in jail, or something has happened to you. So we're teaching new thought to walk away. And the reason why that's important is because when people, and I tell these guys that all the time, when people know they can pull your strings, then you become a puppet. It's not a strength to respond every time somebody says something to you. It's actually a weakness. There's some type of insecurity within you that has you responding to somebody just because they've spoke mere words. I like to use an analogy where Mike Tyson fought Holyfield, Evander Holyfield, heavyweight fight years ago. And I remember Mike Tyson saying a whole lot of stuff to Holyfield. I'm going to eat your kids. I'm going to do all of these things.
Yeah.
Holyfield never responded. Holyfield never responded. It didn't matter what Mike Tyson said. Holyfield didn't respond. He just kept quoting some scripture, Philippians. I forgot the scripture he was using. But that's all he quoted. He didn't respond. And when he got in the ring, he responded. That's when he was supposed to respond. And we all know what happened. Mike Tyson beat his rear and lost the fight, right? It doesn't matter what people say. It's how you respond. The way you respond will allow you to be more solid if you respond in a fashion where what you say about me don't make me none. You know, Jay-Z once used the term. Jay-Z once used the term. He said, what you eat don't make me shit. Right? It's the same thing with responding. What you think about me is not my problem. You know? And when we can come to that conclusion that what you say about me doesn't matter because I'm secure within myself, then we'll be better off. So that's what I'm teaching now. And so believe it or not, there's women in there as well for domestic violence. They hit their husband for various reasons, you know, but it's the same concept. The concept of it all doesn't change. It starts in our trauma. It comes from somewhere. And we got to go back into that time and get to the root of it. But for so long, we've been putting Band-Aids on places that need surgery, you know, and they're just getting by.
Right.
So we need surgery. No more Band-Aids. No more Band-Aids.
I heard that. No more Band-Aids. I like that. Yeah, and you hit on so many points. I was just sharing on my Facebook right now, like, this man is off to a powerful start, and I only asked him one thing. Like, you dropped so many gems. I'm, like, taking notes and you know, but one of the things that you said in particular was about growing up thinking that it was normal, because that's like you said, that's what you were taught in your childhood. Then you were talking about walking around just with aggression all the time, like every response was aggression because that's what you were taught. And, you know, one of the things we talk about in Challenge to Change is very similar about how you have to be able to recognize where stuff comes from and then be able to disrupt that behavior. And,
yes.
You know, when you grow up in chaos, you don't know that it's chaos. And so you don't know to
Absolutely.
Ask for help out of something that you didn't know that is optional. And so we take it
and
as a foregone conclusion that this is how we have to be. So, yeah, you are definitely right on. I love that.
Yeah, it's a gentleman asked me the other day. He said, Mr. Faison, how do you know when you have an anger issue? I said, when they incarcerate you and put you in jail.
Right.
That's what he was saying. I said, aren't you here for that? yeah, that's
right.
What
that's
I mean.
A good,
well, you
good
know,
indicator.
You know right now. Yes, you know right now you got a problem. Oh, well, that's true. I said, okay, so let's deal with it. And it's interesting about inmates. These gentlemen actually would like to open up. They would like to talk. They just don't trust people. But when they can relate to my story, so I get them to open up. And you'd be amazed at some of these guys' story, and then you understand why they're in the position that they are. Because just like me, they were taught things. When I told them the story about what my father taught me, that wasn't new to them. Most of these guys are from Los Angeles. We heard the same stuff. I keep telling you, it's false intel. It's bad intelligence. Remember when we went to the Iraq war for weapons of mass destruction? That was bad intel. There was no weapons of mass destruction. And when you get bad intelligence, that's what you do. You get bad intelligence to make wrong decisions, and that's what we did. That's what we've done. And
right.
so that is an issue, and that is a problem. And it's also important because it's interesting that these people inside, they're still talking about relationships on the outside. They miss their woman. They miss their man. And these are the people who they were abusive to or with.
Right.
And so I've been trying to change the conversation to, well, let's deal with you first. You know, let's have a conversation with you. You said you love somebody, but you don't show yourself love. Well, Mr. Faison, I think I love myself. No, because love is not harsh. Love is not abusive. Love doesn't doubt. Right? If love is kind, if love is patient, if love is gentle, we don't even show that to ourselves. So how in the world are you loving somebody else and you don't even show yourself love, right? So you got to get people to think, look at the whole picture of a situation. So I asked a question, Dr. Marcy, inside the jail, and I asked the gentleman, I said, let me ask y'all a question. How many of you guys would have done something differently if you could? Most of them raised their hand except for one. And he said, now I want you to hear this thinking. He said, no, Mr. Faison, I'm good because, see, I was getting money. I said, okay.
Yeah.
I said, are you spending that money now? No. I said, so I said, watch this. I wanted to show him. I said, watch this. You was getting money, and now you're in jail. How many kids you got? I got two. I said, where they at? He said, they're at home. I said, who's watching them? Their mother and grandmother. I said, let me ask you a question. You think you made a good decision? Well, you know, I provide for my kids. I said, here's where you're making your mistake, sir. Your kids don't need your money. Your kids need that bond.
Yeah.
They need their father. They need their father to teach them the right things to do in this real world. I said, it's the same issue you got. Your father wasn't there. And then he began to think about it for a second, and he began to understand. I said, see, buying father, see what we're taught, Dr. Martin, this is what men are taught. We don't really say I'm sorry, but when we do, I'll bring you some flowers. When we do, I'll bring you a gift, right? But bringing you candy is not fixing the problem that I really have. That don't get to the root of the situation, why I'm angry, why I hit you upside the head. That never does that. But women accept these gifts in many occasions.
Right.
As opposed to saying, no, baby, I need you to go. I need you to get help. Right? Flowers ain't going to get you help. That's, once again, we're putting Band-Aid on a wound that needs surgery. You know, so you got to help and try to change people's thought process on why they're making these decisions so we can heal.
Absolutely. You know, I found it interesting today, right before we actually, before we went on air, I was reading an article, and I love the fact that you've got both the anger management background and your law enforcement background. So I want to read you something And it's about a domestic violence incident that happened this past weekend in Dallas. You may have already heard about it. But it's about a young man who, it says, man was charged for shooting and killing two Dallas hospital maternity ward nurses over the weekend, who he's believed to have opened fire after accusing his girlfriend of cheating. When they were in the hospital, and I'm paraphrasing this, I'm kind of skimming through the article, but when they're in the hospital, he's talking to his child's mother and accuses her of cheating. And so they said that he opened fire around 11 a.m. while at the hospital visiting his girlfriend who'd just given birth to their child. Now, the child is in the room when this happens. This newborn baby is in the room. The tragedy unfolded after he accused a woman of cheating and told her, whoever comes in this room is going to die with us. According to police records, he pulled out a handgun and hit her on the head with it multiple times. Hernandez was on parole from prison at the time and had been granted permission to be at the hospital while wearing an ankle monitor. He was shot and wounded by police shortly after the rampage began. So then they say the police chief is saying that a violent individual such as this should not have been on an ankle monitor and should have remained in custody. Then when you start hearing this guy's background, though, you're just like, oh, my gosh, like there's a history of anger issues here, right? So it says he's right now he's been charged with capital murder. Don't know if he has an attorney yet. He was treated because he got shot by the police after he shot the second nurse. And it says before he started shooting, he started making ominous calls, sending text messages to his families, told his girlfriend that they were both going to die and said, whoever comes in this room is going to die with us. And then a nurse popped her head in, came in to check on his girlfriend and the baby, and he immediately shot her. And then a second nurse popped her head in when she heard what she thought was gunshots, and he shot and killed her.
Yeah.
Now, when you go through and you look at this man's history, he had a history of armed robbery. I'm trying to see if I can find it in the article. He had, like, armed robbery. He had several assault charges, aggravated robbery. So that's what he was on parole from, was aggravated robbery. And he was given permission to be with her during the delivery. But then, like, you're giving somebody who's, like, there's so many places in this where it's going all the way wrong. But the big thing is just his history. And so as I was reading through that and thinking about what we were going to talk about, like, you just did 8 years for aggravated robbery. Well, he was sentenced to 8. He did 6 years. And then before that, he has numerous parole violations when he got out on parole. So this was, like, he was already on parole and then had still two more violations, has a history of, like, armed, you know, having a firearm for a felon and, like, all of these things. And so here these two women, these two nurses, die because this guy thinks his girlfriend is cheating. And so when we're talking about the dynamics of domestic violence and, you know, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about tonight was relationship red flags and dating red flags, because I teach them from a female perspective. But when you look at this guy, I'm looking at his picture, and I'm like, how could you ever have thought this was going to go well? You know, that's what I'm thinking to the girl, right? Because, I mean, he's got the tattoos all over his face, and then you've got this, you know, really long criminal history and all this kind of stuff. So with all you know about your background in law enforcement, anger management, all of the domestic violence, all of these pieces that are kind of dumped into this situation, what would you say to someone, to a woman who's in a relationship or getting into a relationship with somebody like this? And what do you say about the situation overall? Like, when we think about from a prevention standpoint, this didn't have to happen.
Well, there's a couple of things. We don't know her background. when you
true,
grew up.
True.
That she's been with that guy apparently for a while. She might have been in the gang, you know. They might have met like that. So here again, that behavior is normal. So it's not that
mm-hmm,
it's only
true.
Abnormal to people who look at it from the outside and don't understand it. And I get it. But at the end of the day, that may have been her lifestyle. First of all, if she had a baby, it's a few months that went by, right? 7 to 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd have had a baby
right.
with this guy. So they've been together. He's already been in trouble before. I don't know her past or her record, but that might have been normal behavior for her. And you will see
mm-hmm,
that a lot, especially if
these
with gentlemen like that, men like that, you will see these women were there. They came up in that same atmosphere and that's with that same mindset. So it wasn't abnormal because he got in trouble, you know, and I waiting for the baby's dad to get out
mm-hmm.
of jail. That's one side of it. The other side of it is it could be fear-based. Some women stay around because they're fearful of the guy. You know, I'm not letting you go. You my so-and-so, B-I-T-C-H, and that's the way it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so that woman hangs around because now what she's doing is she's fearful. And that's why a lot of women stay, because they're fearful of the guy possibly
yeah.
killing them, right? And then
mm-hmm.
if he has a track record the way he does, then that's even more belief that he may do something crazy, you know. This
mm-hmm.
time guys end up stalking the woman, you know. And the police typically would tell you, I can't do nothing to him yet because he hasn't committed a crime. And so you would hear
yeah.
that quite often. And sometimes that's true. You can't make up a crime. And then something happens later on. And it's unfortunate that there's not a whole lot you can do about it unless you can prove that, like text messages, threatening, and different things like that. Sometimes that happens and you get intel on them and you can go pick them up. But that's not always the case. The second thing is, since we think that's normal behavior, that's how we choose. You typically choose at the
mm-hmm.
level you vibration that you're at, right? So I can be honest
right.
with myself. So when I was rocking at a low vibration, I dealt with women who rocked at a low vibration. Curse,
mm-hmm.
all that good stuff, and drink and all. Why? Because that's where I was at. So for us
right.
looking from the outside in, we're looking like, man, that's crazy. That's because you're not operating at that vibration. You're looking at
right.
it from a different level, a different lens. So to them, that's normal behavior. Unfortunately, too many women get into those relationships with abusive men. And so here's red flags. Here's what I think women do wrong. And I hate telling women what to do because there's plenty of men that need to get their stuff together. But since we're on that topic, what I will tell women, there's plenty of red flags in the beginning. If our goal is to get to know each other, I'm going to say this again because I think I said it last time. I don't care what your favorite
you
color
did.
Is.
That's why I wanted you to go over that again. I think
yeah.
this is diamond. This is gold right here.
Yeah, I don't care about those things. I don't care what's your favorite drink and your favorite. I don't care about any of that. I don't care what kind of job you have. Not at that moment. You know what I want to talk about on our first date? Let's talk about your past. How'd you end up single? And then watch the person's demeanor and behavior when you start getting a little bit, asking certain questions. Because those are the questions that's going to determine if you're going to go on a second date with that individual. Pay attention to if
mm-hmm.
that individual's controlling or not. Because men will really show themselves when they withdraw. And women hate when I tell them this, but I'm going to tell you again. Pay for your own food. Stop going out with people you don't know, talk about, he a gentleman. No, pay for your own food. There's a situation where I told a young lady, and I'll never forget, and I told her, I said, listen, she said, Lamont, the guy is becoming controlling. I said, well, let me ask you a question. When you guys go out and do things, is he the one paying all the time? She said, yeah. I said, that's a setup. I said, and you keep saying, yeah? Yeah. I said, pay for your own food. I said, you're giving that guy power, and he's going to at some point think
mm-hmm.
that you owe him. And I'd be doggone, about 2 weeks later, she came back and said, this dude started bugging. I said, I tried to tell you. Y'all think it's all flattering because
right.
the guy buys you dinner. Buy your own doggone food. You grown. You got a job. Buy your own food. You don't know that individual yet. You got to get to know that individual. I don't know why I'm buying you steak and lobster today. But this guy was fine dining her, sending her flowers to her job. I was like, oh, that's a problem. You don't even know the guy that way.
Right.
Right. And mm-hmm. so it's important to pay attention and ask those questions that make you uncomfortable if you don't want to deal with it. When we on a date, say, well, so tell me, how long you been single? How'd you get here? As soon as they start talking about it's my wife's fault, it's my ex's fault, that's an exit sign. It's time to go. Because I don't know too many relationships where it's just one person's fault and you ain't did nothing.
Right.
start paying attention to that. If you ain't did nothing, it's the wife's fault. Oh, no. I need to investigate that. Can I talk to your ex? it's
right.
something going on there. But you got to pay attention. Got to pay attention to these flags. Guys can be controlling. And you have to watch that. But I'm going to say this to the ladies again, and I know they hate when I say this. I'm going to say it again. Pay for your own meal. You don't know the guy that you're on a date with yet. You should even feel comfortable with taking money or taking a meal from him yet. Let's meet at the coffee house. I'll pay for my own. That also sends a message to him. That sends a message to him that I'm in control of me. I'm self-regulated. I'm not here for you to pay for me. If y'all get together and everything is lovely, y'all been knowing each other for months and almost a year, two, whatever it is, then if that's what you guys want to do, then that's fine, but you got to pay attention to what's going on. Because here's a case I want to give you. There was a lady on Netflix. I'm sorry, that's not true. TED Talk. And I forgot this lady's name, a Caucasian lady, a CEO of a company. And the first thing she did when she got on the stage, she says, most of the best domestic violence survivors don't look like me. She was a powerful CEO of a company. She had met this man, and he was good to her as long as they were in the States. Everything was lovely. He was doing things for him. You know, she said, everything you can want or imagine. Then one day he said, we should move. We should move away from your family. It should just be me and you. And he did.
Mm.
And then he started beating her. He started controlling her. He started beating her. He started controlling her. And many women want to be in relationships so bad that they're blinded. When you got to keep your eyes open at all costs. It's sad that you have to date that way, but it could be life. It could be life or death only, right? It's life and death. This person that you with, you do not know him. So I would pay attention to those red flags. Controlling. Men usually show that card quickly. Well, oh, I got it. I'll pay. No, listen to me, ladies. Pay for your own meal. Are you desperate? Pay for your own meal. See how it responds when you
well,
don't
they,
take it.
Well, they show
offer.
The they show the controlling in such sometimes such kind of undercover type of ways. Like,
sure.
I remember my ex that ended up assaulting me. Whenever we would go out, he would want to wear, like, matching colors. That was one of the things.
Oh, yeah,
and then another thing that he would always do, yeah, he had to, like, keep his hand on my chair or keep me, like, right next to him. Or if I was gone to the bathroom for too long, he would come look for me talking about, I just want to make sure you was okay. Like, I just went to the bathroom.
Now, look.
But as women, we take that as flattery. Instead
yes.
of red flags.
Yes. And that's the point. I said, you got to watch for that guy being smooth. See, a lot of times, though, Dr. Marcy, women want that. But you need to get that when it's in a healthy position, right? That needs to be a healthy thing.
Right.
When you're getting to know people, no, I got this. I'll do it myself, right? Keep your control. Because you're sending the message to them that I'm not so easy to be set. I'm not easy for you to just get under because you meet me, do nice things, and I'm take off my clothes and just fall in your lap. It's not going to be that easy.
Right.
Right? And so that is why we have to take our time, pay attention to what's going on. Stop giving that man power. Stop giving him power. Men are smooth today. We know what you want. We know you want flowers. We know you want candy. We know you want your door open. They use all of those things that we know that you like, and we use it against you. And that's how.
Yeah, I think you talked about that when we were. I think you talked about that when we were talking about unveiling the mask of the pretender, And
absolutely.
You were talking about how you knew the questions to ask to pull out the information, so you knew how to show up. Will you talk about that
yes.
a little bit?
Yes. So in Unveiling the Mask of the Pretender, women would tell me what they ex didn't do. And so I would do what they ex didn't do. He didn't bring you flowers. Guess what I was going to do? I was going to bring you flowers. He didn't bring you candy. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring you candy. Oh, he wouldn't open your door. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to open your door. But I was manipulating. Now, mine wasn't so much physical, but I was controlling, and I wanted your money. I did that to a mm-hmm. young lady that I knew that was getting a large amount of money. I stayed in the game. I stayed in the game. I stayed in the game. Look, I stayed in the game until I got that money. And then she bought me a new car.
Mm-hmm.
So I was manipulating the situation. But I want you to think about something. Rest in peace, Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant apologized with a $20 million ring. Never got help. We know ladies like gifts. I did a show with some ladies on domestic violence on The Raw Truth when I was doing that show. That video is out there somewhere. I think it's on YouTube. But and these ladies, we were having this conversation, and we were asking, why didn't you leave? But they were engaged and in love with the gifts that they was getting.
Mm-hmm.
And so they contributed that he loved them because he gave them gifts, even though he would hit her, right? These women would get hit, but then he loves her and he buys her a gift, right? So we got to be very careful, even women with dating profiles. I want a man that's A. I want a man that's B. I want a man that's C. Well, guess what the dude that's plotting is doing? I'm going to take all of that, and I'm going to use it against you. Now you say, well, why do I want to date if it's like that? Well, that's the way it is, because some people ain't breathing. This is real life. Some people don't wake up. Some people don't come back from this. You know, when was I reading? The guy went on a date. Was this? Yeah, it was from a dating site. This was a couple of months ago. Picked the girl up. They went on a date, and she ain't ever been seen again. You know, the person in a public. Meet the person in a public place. You know, stop. Don't let them spend their money on you. Keep your control until you investigate to see what's going on with this situation. You don't know the man. So why are you taking his money?
Mm-hmm. It was a young lady that went missing in Phoenix a few months ago.
Uh-huh.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
There was one.
There was one. I don't know if this was the same one, but she actually had met the dude online, and I think they'd been talking for some months, and she ended up coming out here, or out to Phoenix, I guess, not here because I'm not there right now. But coming to Phoenix for, like, to meet him and to hang out and whatever, get to know him better. And he was a Phoenix police officer. And they went on a hike, and she was never seen again.
Yeah, listen.
And nobody knows, nobody, nothing.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying that nobody knows what happened to her, nothing. No, they don't have no evidence. They don't have nothing. Nothing.
Raw. Wow. Listen, the number one career for domestic violence is law enforcement.
Yes. The military is up there pretty high, too.
That career field is high in domestic violence. We just had an officer shoot and kill his wife here in Nevada. That's why these classes are important. That's why getting this training is important. That's why being in control of yourself is important. And that's why paying attention to the red flags are important. If you're going to have a conversation with me and you just meet me, you probably should talk about my therapy, see where I've been, why you're not in a relationship, and pay attention to that conversation. If the person is uncomfortable and says it's too soon to talk about that, then you're probably not the one I want to talk to. Because these days, that need to be the first conversation. What you doing? Have you ever been in therapy? Let's talk. Let's have some real talk. If we're going to get to know each other, let's get to know each other. You know, all that other stuff is superficial. But domestic violence is off the charts these days, and it's happening all over the place. Intimate partner violence is huge.
Mm-hmm.
People just know each other, and they still violent toward each other. So it's a lot going on in this world and society. And unfortunately, women are getting the brunt of it. And unfortunately, some of it can be prevented if they pay attention to what's going on, stop being wooed by the smoothness and the gifts.
Mm-hmm. Yonla Van Zandt did a show, I don't know, some years back, maybe, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, I think. And I remember her asking the question. It was so powerful because it was just so raw. She was asking the lady, and I forget what the situation was with the husband, but she asked him, or the guy that she was dating, she asked him, she's like, are you dating the penis? I don't know. She said, are you dating the person, the promise, or the penis?
Right.
And, you know, the woman is kind of shocked, like, oh, my God, like, I can't believe they just said that to me type of thing. But what she was talking about was just what you're saying, how well do you know that person? Are you really dating that person? Do you even know that person? Mm-hmm. Or are you dating the promise, mm-hmm. who you want them to be, who they say they're going to be, who you hope they're going to be, who you didn't have before, or are you dating the penis? In other words, are you just out for good looks and a good time? But if you're not willing to be honest about it, then you're not going to, you know, people go into relationships, and specifically for, I think men and women do this. I don't know, you'd have to tell me on the men's side, but saying that they want relationships and that they want, you know, the cohesive unit, and they want monogamy and all of the stuff that comes along with that, but that's not what they really want. That saying that is more of a means to a different end. So in other words, I'm trying to get something else. It might be money, it might be status, it might be sex, it might be whatever, but you don't really want relationship. Do men do that?
I mean, we do that all the time.
I mean, do they fall for it? I guess women do that to men as much.
Let me think. I don't know, because I know women often say they want a relationship. It's usually the man, and not all the time, but a lot of time it's the woman who's looking for a relationship. Because when I talk to women, the first thing they said is men don't really want to be in a relationship. Or he said he wanted a relationship, but he didn't really want one. Women should understand one thing. Men want sex. Okay? That's just not beating around the bush and trying to figure this out. Men want sex. We might get it today, we might get it next month, but we want sex. So don't be fooled by all the flamboyant and all the other stuff that we put out there. Our ultimate goal is sex. There's no man that's buying you flowers, buying you candy, and bringing you roses, whatever. He still wants sex. And if you find a man that don't want sex, let me know and give me a call. Now, some people,
well,
some men
my,
will go by. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say one of my mentors used to say, we were having a similar conversation, and he used to always say that men look at it from how much is the cookie going to cost. And
right, that's it.
In other words, you know, how much, what's it going to cost me? Is this going to be a Happy Meal kind of sex play? Is this going to be a Birkin bag kind of play? Is this a Benz kind of play? Is this a diamond ring kind of play? Like, what's it going to take to get to the cookie?
Yeah. D.L. Hughley said this is the, I don't know, is this show live? Can I say something on the show?
You can say whatever you want. This is a grown-up conversation, honey. I don't shy away from deep sexual conversations or no other kind of conversation. Like I said in the beginning, I think that if you can have an adult dialogue about it, you should be able to talk about anything.
Yeah, D.L. Hughley said, this is the fucking side of the menu. When you go on the date,
right,
you
I like
from
that.
This guy, this is the fucking side of the menu. Now, if you don't want sex, then on this side, you can get what you want. But if you go to this side, it's true. That's how we think. But it is true. How much is it going to cost me? Can I get in tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I got to play with this thing and stay in the game a little longer? Right? But the biggest thing for me is women who are being abused by men. Because sometimes there are signs there, and women are waving those red flags. Oh, I thought he just had a bad day. Yeah, 364 of them. You know, so you got to pay attention to what's going on around you, and don't be so amused by his flattery. Oh, girl, he opened the door for me. So what? Open your own door. I don't know him yet. Don't give him no power. I tell women, stop giving these guys power and start doing for yourself. I never forget. I think I said this before, Dr. Marcy, that there was a situation where I was opening the door for this young lady. You know what she told me? I get my own door.
Do it myself.
She did. She said, I get my own door. Watch this. Guess what I did? I left her alone.
Let her get it?
No, I left her
alone. Oh, so you stopped talking to her.
Because
okay,
here's
so
the deal.
Let's unpack
if
that.
Unpack
that.
Yeah, I'm about to tell you why. If my goal was to manipulate you and try to get to second base or first base, then it seemed like this challenge was going to be way too hard for me to deal with. That's why I keep saying, don't give that man your power. Soon as you start let me go A, and then you let me do B, then you let me do C, and you let me do D, I'm start gaining power over you. I'm using these things against you. And I'll just continue to play this game, slowly but surely, and then I'm in. Then I'm in. So that's why I say it's important for ladies. They get paid for my dinner. Pay for your own dinner. Pay for your own food. You just get to know this guy. You know, that's all I'm telling you. Just, it's not that you don't want a man to pay for you and all that. But these days, you better be careful. Because every man don't have good intentions when they're buying you dinner, when they're opening your door, when they're sending you flowers. You know, I was reading an article the other day, Christine Aguilera. Her father was very abusive to her physically and emotionally. Dwayne Haskins for the Pittsburgh Steelers, his father was abusive toward him, and his wife was abusive toward him. They was in Las Vegas. He plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm sorry. And his wife hit him when they was in Las Vegas, and he called the police, right? What's the other lady's name? She was married to Seal. Heidi Klum. Did I say her name right?
Oh, okay.
Married to Seal.
Yeah, I think so.
And,
yeah.
And he was abusive, right? Halle Berry was abused and watched her mother be battered. Domestic violence don't care who you are. Think about this. Aretha Franklin, Tina Turner, Maya Angelou, and I'm missing somebody.
Yeah.
And all got one thing in common. They was in abusive relationships.
Right.
James Brown was very abusive. But in the black community, we don't really want to talk about that. We only want to talk about his dancing and his entertaining us. But these men were abusive. How long, ladies and men, are we going to allow people to abuse us before we take back our control? When you first see those signs, I'm being very serious now.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead and finish your thought. Well, because you brought up James Brown, and, you know, we just went through the whole R. Kelly thing and all that kind of stuff. So finish that thought, and I want to come back to how we revere celebrities who are abusers.
Yeah. So what I was saying is they all have this in common. And what people do that entertain, they hide behind what they do well and cover up their insecurities. Where you been? Who's calling you? Who's on the phone? Right? Those are all controlling mechanisms. And we have to pay attention to those things in the beginning, just the subtle things. It don't have to be much. But I'm trying to get ladies to really be observant and pay attention to what's going on around them because their life, in some cases, may depend on it. R. Kelly, I'm listening.
Just from the standpoint of not him specifically, but historically speaking, and granted, you know, you go back too far and then you're just like, well, that's just how it was back then, not right or wrong or indifferent, but that's just the facts. But when we look at, like, an R. Kelly, for instance, we look at, you know, Chris Brown with his situation with Rihanna.
Rihanna.
Yeah, and so we tend to revere abusers, to your point, because they do certain other things well. And so I want to talk about and see what your perspective is from a guy if it's just that it's just too uncomfortable for us to admit that they are what they are? Or where does that reverence come from when we know, like, we have shined, like, this massive spotlight on so many of these celebrities, but yet and still we're buying their albums and shaking our asses to their songs and this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, they don't have no respect for women, but y'all are the main ones buying their stuff.
Yeah, and somebody asked me that the other day, because I still listen to R. Kelly music. If the song come on, I don't turn it off because I can distinguish between the artist and the abuser, right? I don't condone his behavior. That don't mean the song don't sound good. The point that I would make, though, when it comes to superstars is that, here again, most of us as men, we think that's normal behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter who did it. Like, people, men, for the most part, probably weren't like, oh, my God, Brown beat up Rihanna. We've seen so much of that stuff in our childhood and our adulthood. I'm not sure how many of us are fazed by it.
Right.
It happens so much in our community. I'm not sure how they sitting back. Oh, this is a problem. To be honest with you, when that happened with it, I haven't heard too many guys say anything about it. You hear women say some things about it. I haven't heard too many men say anything about Chris Brown hitting Rihanna.
Yeah, no, definitely not that one. That's why I brought that one up.
Yeah.
Is because I think that's they probably just got in a fight.
Yeah. Right. And it happens across the board in the entertainment business, but it also happens to everyday people.
Mm-hmm.
They blame Jada Pinkett for Will Smith. I met a guy today who said, Jada made Will Smith do that. And I checked it quickly. I said, no, Will Smith made himself do that. Jada had nothing to do with him going up there and slap the dude upside the head. That's all Will. And I'm a Will Smith fan. But that was all Will Smith. I said, Will Smith had about 6 seconds to think about what he was going to do. He went through anger. He went through the next stage of aggression. And then he was in rage. And then he slapped a man and assaulted him, committed a battery on him. If that would have been an average person, he would have been in jail. LAPD asked Chris Rock if they wanted to press charges on him. Right? So look how normal. These are celebrities. Will Smith is worth $400 million. There's really no outcry. Watch this. There's really no outcry for Will Smith. The outcry is look what Jada made him do. Everybody putting it on Jada. And then Will Smith reacted like it was Jada's fault that Will Smith went up there. Let me tell you what happened to Will Smith. He already said he didn't protect his mother in a book that he wrote. Will Smith is still rocking in a place of Will Smith is still rocking in a place of insecurity, because insecurity acts out like that. Also being inadequate. I don't want Jada to see me less than a man. All that stuff is playing out in Will's head, because at first Will Smith was not. Will Smith was laughing until he looked over to his wife. Then it steps up on him and says, "Oh, you better protect her." And then he goes up there, right? All this comes from the man. All this comes from the inside of that man. That's why you hadn't seen Will Smith until just recently. And when I heard him apologize to Chris Rock months later, Will Smith was still looked like he was in pain. He was still hurting, right? And so this stuff is in him. So all of these motivation quotes that people put out, don't believe all of those things. Because he does a lot of motivational stuff, but my question to Will, is he doing the work? And here again, I'm a big Will Smith fan, but that doesn't mean that I will put blinders on my eyes like you don't need to do the work, because we all need to do the work. We all need to get a place where I'm going to recognize and identify my issue, and I'm going to be put the work in to overcome. Too many of us talk about being the best version of ourselves, and I'm living my best life. Most of the time, that's a lie. But most of us are not living our best life. We're living a life of secrecy, you know, and when people get exposed, then it's a problem. And now everybody knows, you know. Tom Brady and his model wife, they just broke up, right? You don't know what's going on behind doors with people. on them.
Right.
So, yeah, so I don't know what men,
yeah,
how men see that.
No, I think you did a good job of shedding light on it. I think just the fact, like what you were saying, that, you know, for guys, like, that's how we grow up. That's what we're taught. And so you don't necessarily see it as wrong. And if you do see it as wrong or inappropriate, or I wouldn't want somebody to do that to my mom or my sister or whatever, you don't see it. It's not shocking, like you said. It's not shocking,
yes,
to them. And, you know, about Will Smith, he was very transparent in his book about exactly,
right,
what you're talking about, his insecurities. Like, that's how he got into acting to begin with, and rapping was as,
yes,
a alternative to insecurities, to fight that, to seek acceptance and validation and, you know, all of those things. And so to your point, like we talk about in Challenge to Change about generational systems, unless you've really dug down to the root of that system and you understand where that stuff comes from, and you get yourself some tools to do something different and make different decisions, then you're going to continue to repeat the patterns. They're just going to, it's going to be repeated in different ways maybe, but it's still habitually the same. Your initial response is the same. Like you're saying with aggression and anger, like if that's your go-to response when you're triggered, if you don't get some new tools, it's going to remain your response.
Yes. Yes, so the behavior is normal to us, you know. So it's not like there's a big,
right,
old outrage by men like, oh, no, this guy. No, it's not. I mean, like I said, the guys that I've been meeting, they blame it on Jada. Like it's Jada's fault. She's the toxic one. I said, no, they're both toxic. They both got some issues,
yeah,
and they have to work
definitely.
It out. Yeah, you know? And so, you know, and that's not to pick on them. It's just a conversation. I mean, it's just the celebrities that are out there, and it's in public view. You know, that Chris,
mm-hmm,
Brown, that was in public view. And so we see these things, but then we see the reaction. Bill Cosby, I was hearing, I was like, Bill Cosby, my man. Okay, I ain't got no problem with it. And these women making it up. Well, all 260 of them, or how many ever it was, you know. And
well, he said he did
we,
it.
We
like,
go,
it's not even for
right,
question
that's
if
what
he
I
did.
Said.
He said he did it.
Yeah, he had a deposition on one where he said he did it, right? So that's what I was telling these guys. I said, y'all,
mm-hmm,
know he admitted to one of those, right? You know, so, and there's no excuse for drugging women. And I love Bill Cosby, but there is no excuse for drugging a woman and taking advantage of her. And if we don't think and start thinking with some type of morality, with some type of righteousness, and we just condone everything, that's why this world is going into a hand in a handbasket. It's ridiculous. You know, I can like the guy and he can be wrong at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Two things can be
yeah,
true at the same time. And, yeah, he not only admitted that he did one, he admitted that he did several. And, in fact, I believe that's why he's out, was because there was an agreement by one prosecutor that we won't prosecute you for this. But then a new prosecutor came in and prosecuted him. He got convicted. But they had to,
yep,
throw the case,
yep,
out because the original agreement with L.A. County Attorney was – that we're not going to prosecute. So it's not a question,
yeah,
of whether he did it or not. And then,
yes,
he even talked about it. Like, if you go back and look at his books, and, like, I was watching something about, it was a compilation of several different stand-ups that he did, like, way back,
yes,
in, like, the 70s,
mm-hmm,
when he first came out. And, yeah, and so he talked about how drugging women was a goal. I forget what it was he called it.
Yeah.
But basically, giving them drugs to get what you want was, it was like a whole thing. It was like,
yes,
to be, you know, celebrated, basically. And
yes,
so,
right,
again, you start throwing context of time and things like that, it muddies the water a little bit. But if your argument is, A, he didn't do it, excuse me, they're lying, whatever. No, they're not. He's told you out of,
mm-hmm,
his own mouth, this is the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we still don't want to believe,
yes,
it. So.
Yeah. You got to really get in position of a place where when you become conscious of something is when you begin to see clearly. And you have to start with yourself. That's the bottom line. I knew that I had anger issues. I have to identify that. The first law of healing, I always say, is honesty or transparency. You got to be honest with yourself. You can't fix anything that you don't acknowledge. Once you identify it, then you got to find the tools to be able to fix that flat tire and jack that thing up and begin to do the work and change that tire until you can get a new tire on there. That's how our life is. When you find out the situation, you got to go get tools to be able to fix that. And you got to be willing to stay in that game as long as it takes to fix yourself and heal from it. And what we have is we have a lot of people who don't really want to do the work, you know. I was coaching a young lady, and she paid money now, just for the record. And I told her, I said, listen, before we start, I'm only interested in positive results. So if you're going to quit and you're going to give up, then I don't want to take your money. 2 days in, she quit. Then she called me back 2 weeks later. Well, I fell off, and I just told her straight up. I said, I only work with people who are serious about changing. If you're still on the fence going back and forward, then I don't want to coach you because I'm coaching you for success. Right. I'm not here to just take your money. I want to see you win. And so that's my mindset today, and that's how I got into this thing, looking at my past behavior, looking at how irresponsible I was, how angry I was, and how controlling I was. Looking at that picture in the rearview mirror now, I want to help those people that I'm driving in to see every day who look like me and have those same issues. And so I'm there for you to win. It's time to play chess now. We need to be strategic with every move, right? It took you 35, 40 years to get where you're at with all these wounds. It ain't going to happen in 24 hours. So you got to continue to practice, repeat, practice, repeat, practice, repeat, repetition, consistency, discipline. All of those things matter when you're trying to overcome your trauma and become the best version of yourself. And you got to stop lying to yourself. It's somebody that's listening to you right now that's dealing with somebody that's controlling. That person wants to ask the question, what should I do? If you got to ask that question, what should you do? You already know what to do. And do me a favor. Do not tell the abuser you're leaving them. Just do it.
Right.
When it's safe. When it's safe for you.
Right.
Okay.
And listen, that's a good, let me just toss out a reminder too. You guys, if you are like Lamont just said, if you're in a relationship with somebody and you're facing domestic violence or abuse, even if it's financial abuse, even if it's just their controlling behaviors, even if it's anything that may, if you feel like you have to walk on eggshells, it's an abusive relationship. That's like the bare minimum for you to benchmark that you're being in, that you're in at a minimum a toxic relationship, potentially a dangerous one. So if you feel like you're walking on eggshells, that's kind of your benchmark. But if that is you, there's a free ebook that I wrote. It's called Making a Safe Exit. It's available on the website of my nonprofit. So the website is the number 9 seconds, the word seconds, 9seconds.org/ebook. So 9seconds.org/ebook. It's completely free. You can download it. It's an easy read, and it gives some useful tips, some useful actionable items to consider for planning a safety bag, developing a safety plan so you know where you're going to go. And it really walks you through the behind the scenes of why you need these things, because sometimes we think, I can just go to a friend's house. And so I talk to you about why that's not probably the best course of action. It's a last resort choice, actually. So it talks about that. It talks about planning a safety bag. It talks about why you plan and how you plan and what you need to have in your bag and what documents you need and what things you need to do and how do you determine where you're going to go and how do you find a safe place and the questions you need to ask if you're looking at shelters. It's a comprehensive guide for you if you are thinking about leaving an abusive relationship. That book is also fantastic if someone that you love is in an abusive or dangerous relationship, because as a person who cares for someone who's in an abusive relationship, it's often you kind of feel helpless. You feel like, I don't know what to do. So you find yourself saying things like, just leave him, just come to my house. That's not the answer. And so download this book, get some actionable tools so you really are prepared to help them and to advise them and to guide them. Again, the website's 9seconds.org /ebook is the link to the book. I don't know, it's like maybe 50 pages, but it gives you all of the tools that you need to really start moving towards leaving the relationship, because that is one of the most dangerous times. That's when you are most likely to be killed by your abuser. If you already have a violent abuser, someone who's hitting you, physical violence, but then that also is a time where violence escalates. So if you're in a relationship with somebody who is not physical, they're just saying stuff, or they're controlling things, or they, you know, tracking your movements, or they got the thing on your phone where they know where you're at all the time. The moment, like he said, don't tell them that you're leaving. You just need to leave. So when you tell them, that's when it escalates. So if it hasn't been physical,
yes,
it will likely become physical. And so, and the other thing is, don't underestimate your partner. That personally was one of the things that I did. I saw the red flags. He told me he was in physically violent relationship with an ex. I knew that. But what I heard through the ears of my womanhood was, oh, that's not going to be me because I don't argue and I don't fight. So I'm thinking the only reason he's fighting with her is because she fights with him. That's not the case. That's who he was. And I wanted to minimize it, and I wanted, because all the other stuff was good. I was having a good time. The sex was amazing. We went out, we danced, and we had a good time, and we loved each other's company and all these other things. But there were so many things wrong with that relationship. I don't have time to go into it. But there were so many red flags, so many things wrong. But I wanted what I wanted. Are you dating the what did she say, the person, the promise, or the penis? I was somewhere between the promise and the penis, but I sure as hell wasn't dating the person. Because if I was dating the person, I would have listened to the red flags, and I wouldn't have made excuses for his previous bad behavior. Like Lamont said earlier, when you hear stuff, you ain't got to say, we don't need to talk no more. Just stop talking to him.
Right.
That's it.
Right. And stop inviting him over your house.
Right. Yeah. It's a whole lot of stuff goes on in there. But... so, sir, any final, we got about 10 minutes left on the show. What's going on with you now? What are you doing? Where can people find you? I know you are just crushing it out in Vegas from what I'm hearing. So share with us. What's up?
Well, you can find me at Lamont Faison, L-A-M-O-N-T-E, F as in Frank, A-I-S-O-N. That's Lamont Faison on Instagram. I have a new show starting up. It will be on YouTube. It's called Discussions with Lamont Faison. And I shot my first episode today, actually, here in Las Vegas. There might be something. I might have put something in my storyline on Instagram of the set that I was on at Studio 41. So this show is going to, for the first month, we're going to be dealing with men. And we're going to be talking about anger management, domestic violence, aggression. I'm working on a new book called The Anger Response Makeover. I believe that we've been given a false blueprint, and many of us are operating and executing from that false blueprint. And if you get garbage in, it's going to be garbage out. So I'm changing the anger response with new thought. So that's coming out. So that's the stuff that I'm working on now. And that show, we'll probably pitch that show to TV1 and BET. I got a few connects over there. So we saw our first episode today, and it'll be out sometime in November. The first week you'll be able to see the first episode when we're dealing with men. And the show should be fantastic because the first guest, it's a man, and he's voicing his frustration. He saw his wife, I'm sorry, he saw his mother get murdered. His dad murdered his mother right in front of him. And it has affected his life. He's going to tell us how it affected and how he overcame, and also some of the stuff that he still deals with. And this is what I mean. You got to be careful. So if I meet a guy like that, I need to see where his mind at, you know, what he's thinking.
Right.
That's why you got to be careful when you start these relationships and really get to know these people. But, yeah, so I got 3 or 4 men that's going to be on for these first 4 episodes. The first episode will be airing sometime in November. I'll let Marcy know when it's coming out. And it's going to be fantastic content. And it's going to be raw and real. And And I just say stay tuned. Here again, that new book is going to be called The Anger Response Makeover, How Aggression Failed Us. And then you can pick it up probably on Amazon. That's probably where it'll be at. I have a couple of new shirts that are coming out as well. Mental Health is a New Cool. That's my shirt. That's my slogan. And
I like
being
that.
Calm is cool. Yeah. So what we're trying to do is bring an awareness to mental health as a stigma, man. This means you're crazy, you know. No, mental health is
right.
A cool. Is a new cool. We can talk about it. We can heal. We can overcome. And we can be the best version of ourselves and be ridiculously amazing. That's who we are. So you want to encourage and motivate and inspire people to do be the best they can be. And so that's what I'm doing there in Vegas. And I'll be going on the road soon teaching classes. So if anybody want to get coaching, if anybody just want to take a class, you can go to angermanagement702.com, sign up for a free consultation, and you can take a minimum of 4 classes, and all my classes are affordable. They're only $50. So if you're one of those people that's online that said maybe I can use some of this help, then sign up, and we can make it happen.
I love that. And, you know, just real quick before we wrap up, you know, you mentioned mental health, and for a lot of people that gets so uncomfortable and it makes people squirm in their chairs, and like you said, the old stigma of if you have mental health issues, if you have that label, then you're crazy. And I challenge anyone who's been through trauma to not have been affected mentally by it. And so sometimes mm-hmm. we just need to shift our perspective on how we view labels. So mental health is not necessarily about you don't have to be bipolar or schizophrenic, right? That's not necessarily what we're talking about, but depression is a mental health disorder. Anxiety is a mental health disorder. And so there's a lot of things that fall under the umbrella of mental health. And for those of you who have experienced domestic violence, you saw it in your childhood, et cetera, and so on, there are some underlying issues there, and only through going through therapy and treatment and maybe psychotherapy can you determine, is it mm-hmm. truly a mental health issue? Does it need to be medicated, or can it be done through therapy and training and behavior modification? So that's
yes.
the spiel on mental health. I'm glad you brought that up, because we really need to shake how we think about that. Like, it doesn't mean that you're schizophrenic. It doesn't mean that you have some sort of bipolar. It doesn't even not mean that you need to be medicated, but it does mean that you need to do some work and clean off some shelves for sure.
Absolutely. So, and I'll say this go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Go. You're good.
I was going to say that stigma is big in the Black community, you know, with us getting
yeah.
help. And so I feel like you said something earlier, which is the absolute truth. Most domestic violence facilitators and anger management specialists do not look like me. I work
right.
in a field where there's, I think it's 2 that I have seen in Nevada. You know, and so it's sad because we're scared of this for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we can be helpful to somebody that looks like me get out there and start promoting it and talk about mental health is the next is the new cool. We got to make it
mm-hmm.
an open, make it an inviting to get help. We got to make it cool again to get assistance so we can be better, so we can heal, you know. And so that's important to me. So this is going to be my life's work, you know, making this happen and getting people to go get assistance and get coaching, whatever it is they need, so they can live their life to the fullest, you know. And so that's very important to me. So I appreciate you too, Dr. Marcy, for platforms like this that allow me to speak and speak to your audience, because I think this is important for whoever's listening to this show to transfer this information and to give it to somebody else. And we continue to recycle it over and over in different platforms and let people get the message. So I appreciate you for what you do.
Absolutely. And likewise, you know, that was one of my big things. Like, I love your messages so much. And there's such a great synergy between what I talk about and what you talk about. You talk about it from an anger management standpoint. I'm talking about it from a change management standpoint. But we're both still talking about the same things. We're still talking about mental health. We're still talking about doing the work. We're still talking about, you know, and for me, like for my company, for Sustainable Life Change Institute, I talk about how we are the intersection where therapy meets training. And so, yes, I use some cognitive behavioral modifications. Yes, we use some ACC therapy and some other behavioral therapies and so forth and cognitive therapies, but we also use training. And so sometimes your mental health issue just requires some training, and you need to be sort of in that intersection. And I also believe that we need to hear it from a variety of different voices. Even though you and I could say the same thing, we're going to say it differently because we're different genders, we have different backgrounds, whole nine. And so I love that and I love you because you're so real with it. Like, there's no sugarcoating it. Like, it is what it is. So thank you, Efren, for coming on. I will hit you back about sometime after the first of the year. Maybe we can get you back on to talk about the audacity to think I can. I'm going to be just like saying that to myself. I got the audacity to think I can. Okay.
You got the audacity to believe in yourself. Well, go ahead there with your bad self.
I know. Right. What's a little morning sunshine without a little self-belief to start you, get y'all to a good start? So thank you, my friend. I appreciate you. I appreciate you.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. So, guys, every week I always say that survival is a responsibility, but so is success. So sustainable life change is definitely within your reach, like we just talked about tonight, doing the work, getting the help that you need. There's resources available. If you just throw up the white flag and say, I need some help, there's definitely people here willing to reach back out and help you. If you do have questions about making some proactive changes, feel free to reach out to me on any of my social platforms at Dr. Marcy Batiste online. You can reach out to Lamont on his platforms. You can find him. I know for sure he's all over Instagram. I follow his Instagram a lot. But he's also on YouTube. You can go to his website, Anger Management 702, sign up for classes. So there's lots of help out there. And remember the one thing that he said tonight, the School of New Thought, the second thought formula he shared with everybody, to think, gather the facts, weigh your pros and cons, and then make a decision. And so basically stop before you just react. So I love that so much.
Absolutely.
But in the meantime and in between time, guys, this is Dr. Marcy, America's Voice for the Voiceless. Lamont and I are signing off, and we are wishing you all health, safety, and success until we link up again next week here on the V2V podcast. And again, one last thing, 9seconds.org/ebook is where you can find my latest book, which is a domestic violence safety tip book that's going to help you if you or someone that you know or love is trying to exit an abusive relationship. With that, guys, have a good night. We'll see you back here next week.
Remember my grandfather telling me, God rest his soul, before he passed away, that men have four different appetites that you have to tend to. He said, men are not complicated. He said, I'm just going to break it down to you. He told me, he said, men have a physical appetite, a visual appetite, a sexual appetite, and an emotional appetite. And for a minute, I really didn't understand it when I was younger, but as I got older, it really started to click. It always stayed with me. He said, physically, you need to make sure that you know how to cook, and if you don't know how to cook, then find out how to cook, and if you can't, then at least have a meal on the stove or in the stove by the time he gets there that's warm, especially if that man is taking care of the household. He said, it don't take a lot of work. He said, it don't. And I watched my grandmother do it.